Lex Luger and Super Brawl? Super Saturday? What is it? I don't even know what it's called. What is it called?
Super Brawl Saturday.
Super Brawl Saturday?
You don't lose faith in winners. And Ric Flair day in and day out. Every day of his life. Just keep winning and winning and winning.
Ric Flair! New York City Ric Flair! You're going to find out what hard is all about.
I do exactly what I want to do. You say I'm insane. I say thank you very much.
Make a good lucha.
I hate God.
Hit the dog. Yes! We love you, Scott Steiner.
Today, I've got the star and profile like never before.
You guys talk about being students of the game. I am the f***ing game, JR.
I think we played that one before. Like that one. Fucking like that one. I don't think we played that one. Just found it on the by the way, both me and Smark are having little internet issues tonight, so if it's a little weird, I apologize. Smark's audio might not be the best. That might be my fault, might be his fault, might be Skype's fault. You never know. Right, Smark?
Yeah, who knows? We'll figure out.
Yeah, hopefully Skype will warm up.
That's it.
Yeah, hopefully Skype will warm up like it usually does. I'm going to minimize it as far as it'll go, and then I'll do that. And the only thing I got running on this computer is Mixer, so it should be just fine. Anyway, Wednesday night, Dirt Sheet Dudes, how's everyone doing? I am Boxman. Smark is over there doing fine, he says. Very good. Very good. Oh, man. While Christopher Kane is in the chat, wait. Mm-hmm. Oh, did you see that cock gobbling tonight by Cody? He was gobbling his own cock tonight. Dirk, Bobby, appreciate you guys kicking off the show with us. Thanks.
Really, boy.
It was pretty bad, Smark. It really was. It was. It really was. Yeah, I'm like... You're like,
yeah, wasn't a great show all in all, honestly.
No, really wasn't. You know what, Smark? I'm thinking maybe we should take a quick break and restart this Skype thing real fast. I don't know. Maybe that'll help.
Couldn't hurt.
It won't hurt. Before we even get this show kicked off, I'm going to apologize. Going to go ahead, take a really quick break, and just restart Skype, and we will be back in just a second. All right? Appreciate it, guys. Hold the line. All right. I'm just going to go ahead and start out a little bit here. Smark is going to give me he'll call back in, and we'll get, may get Eric back on. But anyway, once again, thank you guys for joining us. It's greatly appreciated right here. This is Dirt Sheet Dudes. We barely even got started, but I wanted to get that fixed now rather than having to take a break later. So hopefully it's going to work. Smark actually restarted his PC, which is what's taken a little while. So it's not a big deal. I can kill a little bit of time until Skype starts working again. Looks like Smark is almost back on Skype. It does say he's active. So looks like he'll probably be calling me in just a minute. I know it'll blow y'all's ears out, but I apologize. So what I can do, though, is if you give me a second, I'll grab a song here, and we can go ahead and get plugs done while I'm waiting on Smark. And maybe he'll jump in while I'm doing those real quick. Just going to grab a little song to throw in there, and I will be talking right behind that bad boy. There it is. Not even sure what I'm putting in here, but enjoy it anyway. All right, here we go. Of course, that means we're going to kick off and be starting off with, that's right, it's the High Marks, it's Cheese Man, it's Mojo, it's G-Wiz. It is every Sunday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and you should be checking them out. That's right here, Mixler.com/Metal Mitt. Network. That's right. Don't forget two T's in Mitt. Mixler.com/Metal Mitt Network. Check out Cheese Man Mojo and G Wiz over there. And of course, Bobby Anthem, Bobby Blades. Check out the Inhumans over there on the Inhuman Experience. Anywhere you get your podcasts, you can find them. And of course, we've got the Everything Unscripted Wrestling podcast with Eric. He will tell us more about where to find him. Blog Talk Radio, great place to start. Everything Unscripted, just check him out right there. And, of course, wherever you get good podcasts. And, of course, Stephen Maloney sharing the show, and we appreciate it. Letterboxd, boxd.com/Stephen Milan. There's two wells in Milan. Don't forget that. And Saturday nights, don't forget Hollywood Hangout. Me, you're gonna get me. This week I'm gonna be going on once again 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, talking Lachlan Monroe. Not the most well-known actor, but the guy's got over 200 credits on IMDb to his name. He's been doing movies, TV, everything. Very long time. He was actually just in the Riverdale. There you go. Hold on here. All right, I got Smart back here. Let's see how this is going to work. Hopefully Skype is working a little better now. Smart, what's going on, my man?
Let's see.
All right, I hear Smart. A little tinny, but I do hear you. You hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I hear you.
I hear
you. All right.
Let me fix that.
All right. Well, you fix that. And while you're doing that, if you're in front of the mic, you can go ahead and hit your plugs, my man. He's not in front of the mic. Oh, he is.
All right. Let's see if you do it.
All right. Go for it.
There we go. Mondays, 8:30 p.m. on the Metal Mid Podcast at work. It is Cheese on the Sports with Cheese Man. Be sure to listen to the Motor City Machine Guns as well. And last but least, sure, check out that Planet Raconteur. Planet Raconteur Podcast. Bobby Anthony, Papa Dave Sincere. And yeah, nasty. Check out all 16 episodes of Season 1 as well as Season 2, which is underway. New episodes are dropping. So be sure to catch them by subscribing.
Absolutely. There you go. All right. You came back just in time. See that? Perfect timing.
Yeah. The wonders of the internet.
Ah, the wonders. And that's right. You lucky downloaders won't even know you had a problem. I stopped recording. I started recording. So basically, it's like time travel for you guys. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool shit, man. All right. I can see how this show is going to go tonight. I probably should call Eric so he won't interrupt us. The problem is it's going to actually come over the microphone. So I'm in a bit of a bind here. But I want to just go ahead and get it done.
Well, you don't want to come over the microphone.
Well, it's going to come over the speakers, which will, you know what I mean. God damn it. All right. It won't make that much noise. It might not make any noise. You never know. Or we might get Eric. You never know.
Just be sure to sterilize it when you're done.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of numbers up there for Eric's name. Okay. There we go. I think we're good now. We can go ahead and start this bad boy. Sorry for that clusterfuck there, everybody. I guess we do need to get away from Skype, Smart. All right. We'll talk about that in the next coming weeks. But anyway, hopefully it'll all work. As it gets later, my internet starts getting better. So fingers crossed. All right. So we do have a bunch of stuff to get into. And as I say every week, I'd really like to try to get through it pretty quickly. Like I said, not feeling great. A lot of people at work are either have COVID or are just sick. And I came home feeling like shit today. So I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Hopefully tomorrow I'm better. I probably should not be drinking beer, but here we are, and it's what I do. Anyway, let's go ahead and kick off this show, get a few news items done. We don't have a ton of news, but we do have some news that we can get into. And also got a couple of clips when we get into AEW play of Moxley coming back. We can go ahead and mention that. So I think that might have been the best part of who just called me a lush. God damn it. I am a professional drinker, sir. I drink, I get up, I go to work. I time it correctly. I don't drink until the show starts because I'll drink six before the show. And then what am I going to do? Drink six more during the show? No, I can't do that. So I don't. But anyway, let's go ahead and get into a few things here. Get into some small stuff first, and then we'll get into... You know what? Let's get into some stuff that we don't have to spend a lot of time on, Smark. What do you think about that?
Sounds good. Let's do it.
Sounds good. Let's do it. All right. Well, to no one's surprise, Thursday, of course, right after the show, we find out that Tammy Sitch, former Sonny, was arrested one more time, this time for basically domestic terrorism. She was threatening, I guess, her former boyfriend with a pair of scissors. All caught on dash cam from police.
Her former boyfriend, Sid?
I think they were getting some old Sid and Arn lessons, Smart. That's exactly what I think was going on there. They had to be. It had to be that. But I guess this was in New Jersey, and I guess that's what she was up to. She was over there threatening him. This is all right in front of police. She also says that she put out a statement on her Facebook page, says, "I am okay. I am laying low for a bit, but I am okay. Don't believe the media. Please don't." Oh, end. That's it.
Look, just because what they're saying is true doesn't mean you have to believe them.
Exactly. You know, don't believe the hype, don't believe the media, fake news.
Funny, wearing a fucking Flavor Flav clock. Don't believe the hype.
That's right. Don't believe them. It's fake news. Bigly fake. Hugely fake news. Don't believe them. Don't believe them at all. It's all crap. It's all bullshit, I say. But anyway, again, something we don't have to spend a lot of time on. It really is no shock. And if you remember a few weeks ago, I said, don't be surprised if within the next few weeks something happens with Tammy. She's been in Florida lately, which she's not supposed to be there either. She's not supposed to be in New Jersey. She's not supposed to be in Florida. There's places she's relegated to. And those two states are not them. So she was bound to get in trouble there in Florida or I guess in New Jersey too. So I guess that's just what it came down to. But I know she was in Florida for the past few weeks, and she was feeling lucky. Nothing happened to her down there. I don't know how she migrated up to Jersey, but I guess that's a natural migration.
She was seeking the accompaniment of Joey Janela, apparently, I guess.
Maybe. And you know, it's funny. People, it's the opposite, because this is season. In Florida, when it gets cold up there, they all, you know, all the snowbirds, they call them, come from New York, New Jersey, and all those states and come on down to Florida. So she did it backwards, man. It's not the way it's supposed to go. It's really not.
He's done many things backwards.
Well, I know. Upside down, backwards, back door. But anyway, I really do feel bad for her a little bit. I mean, she keeps getting in trouble. It's not like I'm like, oh, poor girl, you know, but I really wish she'd get her fucking act together. She was charged with two charges, illegal possession of a firearm, which I don't remember that being in the report. I think this article might be a little bit of bullshit. She did not have a firearm. She had scissors, as well as one charge for making terroristic threats. I believe it was possession of a deadly weapon. It was not a firearm, which scissors can be a deadly weapon.
Right.
Can be. It was not a firearm. This is why you don't believe some. Oh, where are we here? Oh, wrestlingheadlines.com. Yeah, they got the scoop. But anyway, I don't know. Smark, what do you got on this? I can't fathom why this woman keeps doing this. I don't know if she needs the attention. If she does, she needs to just get off that. But it's sad, dude. It's just sad. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It would be sad if I felt any form of like sympathy or anything. And I would if she showed any sort of remorse for anything that she's ever done.
Right.
But that doesn't seem to be the case. She always seems to blame other people for a problem. So more than anything, it's just opportunity to once again point and laugh at her, which I have thusly done.
Yeah. And hey, whatever you did to get rid of that underwater thing last time, see if you can do that one more time, by the way. It's like in and out. It's weird. But anyway, yeah, I agree. It just seems like at this point she's doing stuff for attention. Like she'll fall out of the spotlight and then be like, I know how to get back in. I mean, does she have a book coming out soon or something? I don't know. Seems like her MO to get arrested before she has something.
She's gonna release the first autobiography pop-up book.
Probably. Boy, that'd be a rough autobiography. where do you end? I mean, I know where you can start. I mean, start where she got famous, but where do you end that one? I don't know. But anyway, like I said, I don't really need to spend a lot of time on that. I just wanted to mention it since, of course, it happens the day after the show, which everything does. It seems like everything does all the time. So anyway, we can move on from that. One more thing we don't have to spend a ton of time on, Smark. Like I said, I'm going to knock a few of these out, if you don't mind.
Sure.
PW Insider reported that for 2 weeks in February, WWE's Monday Night Raw will be bumped and go to Sci-Fi for those 2 weeks. So look out for that too, Smark.
No boy.
I know. Huge Raw watchers over here, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. I'll never miss an opportunity to watch Veer.
Exactly. I agree with you, sir. And one more quick little thing. I think that's, you know, might be one of the last quick little things I have, and then we can actually get into a little more actual news. Aubrey Edwards posted today that if you guys are familiar with the little, kind of a little documentary piece, Day in the Life, with that Forbes does, they actually followed Aubrey Edwards around and did a little Forbes portraits on her.
I feel like that's kind of a double standard. When somebody from Forbes follows her around, it's a journalistic piece. When I do it, I get arrested. It's just...
Well, the Forbes guy is probably dressed. You're in a trench coat.
Well, that is true. I had a notepad. I figured that amounted to something. It was still an airport, but.
Well, you see, again, the trench coat, you know, just, you know, you're not a shimmer.
Probably shouldn't have done the thing with my eyebrows when I asked if I could get a scoop.
Know what I mean? Shouldn't have nudged her elbow when I said that.
Yeah, that in hindsight, I made several things that can be considered, you know, microaggressions.
Yeah, I mean, you got to watch the trench coat. You're not at a fucking shimmer show, dude. Take it easy.
Well, you know, sometimes I'm out of place. I get it.
Time and place, Mark. Time and place.
Indeed.
That's what they say. Time and place. But good for her, man. I mean, she's out doing a lot of things, and I mean, no one really knew of her very much. She jumped on AEW. She refs a ton of matches on there, and she's does the podcast with Tony and living her dream. I bet, man.
For sure.
Now, was she an actual wrestler at one time?
Not that I'm aware of, but okay. She had been refereeing in the independent scene for a minute.
There you go. Living her dream. Not taking bumps. I ain't going to fucking falter for that. I can't. That's good shit right there for her. All right. Again, we weren't going to spend a ton of time on all this. Now, I guess we can get into a few things here. One being another thing that happened. Right after the show over the weekend, Fightful was reporting that Mustafa Ali he announced that he asked for his release, and then I think he even made a video, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, that was part of it. It was basically just said that he couldn't accomplish all that he wished to accomplish while being under the WWE umbrella. That was like what was in the video.
Okay. And by the way, your audio, perfect, buddy. Perfect right now.
I'll try not to move.
No, don't move, and just keep your wall. Keep fingers crossed. Chat room, cross those son of bitches right now. But anyway, okay. So yeah, I mean, then I did hear that where, you know, he can't, you know, he's got this message and he can't get it out on WWE, right? Got it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I did hear that video. I didn't see it, but I heard it. And so he announced he's. Has he been granted the release yet? Have we heard anything?
Not, I haven't seen anything yet that said that he's actually been granted the release, but.
Nah, me neither. Now, there's a little story going around. Remember I said that story, possible, true, maybe, I don't know. That Vince had pitched an idea to him that he would never do. And it led to an argument. A heated argument, and Ali hasn't been around since.
Which, after some recent gimmick changes, boy, oh boy, do I wonder what that could have been.
Yeah, now I'm wondering what that could have been, too. I mean, let's face it, this guy's been strapped with some really bad gimmicks. And you know what, by that I obviously mean Retribution, mainly. I like the stuff he was doing when he was coming out, talking about just, you know, getting justice, being a former cop, even, I mean, you know, I may support police, but I, you know, talking about police brutality, man was a cop, Chicago, seen shit like that. So I liked all that stuff he was doing. Don't know why they wouldn't let him roll with it. They strap him with Retribution. Awful. It was awful. We all know that. We made fun of it forever. It's kind of one of the reasons I fucking stopped watching. For a while, and then they really couldn't find anything for him to sink his teeth into. But he did this. Right. But he did this whole New America thing. What, 3-4 weeks ago?
Right about that time, yeah.
It was good, and I mean, I don't know where they were going from there. Which, I mean, but first of all, I'm not 100% sure I believe the story because I don't know if a talent would actually get into a heated argument with Vince McMahon. You would think by now they would learn that's not going to get you anywhere but out the fucking door.
Well, I mean, if he wanted to go anyway, perhaps that was the intent.
I mean, that's definitely possible. And I guess, I mean, if you believe in something enough, you are going to stand up for it to whoever and, you know, whoever they are, whatever they are, you're going to do it. But, and you know what? Maybe he did. I don't know. I'm not saying he didn't. That would be one part of the story I would question. How about I say that? I would question that part. I don't question the part where they had a horrible gimmick for him that he never would have done.
Oh, for sure.
That part I think is 100% true. But I really wonder what that is. I think we'll eventually hear what that might have been. I got a feeling Ali, if he does get his release, he's not going to go quietly. Doesn't seem
like... I'm pretty sure that we'll hear about it at some point.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm. I'm pretty sure too. But now he also claimed, I don't know where this Fightful report was, the source was, but it says that he was also told he was too polished, too clean, and too nice. Another reason I would question that heated argument. Too nice. It's pretty scary when you're told you're too nice to be in the wrestling business. I mean, Daniel Bryan has said before he was told he was too good of a person, too nice to be in the business, but he's smart, and obviously Ali is very smart also. Let me tell you something. You cannot be an idiot and pass those goddamn psych tests to be a cop.
Have you considered getting a DUI, pal? Send out a couple of dick pics.
That'll get you up in the spots, buddy.
Okay. Up in the spots, indeed.
Oh, God. But listen, if he is granted his release, that's great. I don't know if I would have gone on and started making videos and tweeting about it. I think that's probably not the best idea. I personally, and I don't know about you, Smark, but I'll ask you in a second. I would have done this all off social media, asked for my release. Once I was finally released or not, maybe then I would have said something. Why does everyone got to take to social media? Stop it. Stop it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe it's just they think that it'll force their hand a little bit more if they cause a little bit, you know, bit of a public rocking of the cradle. I mean, we've seen this numerous times with various people. When Brody Lee was there, he requested his release online on social media too. Ziggler's teased it billions of times without any actual intent of ever going there. I think FTR did the same thing. That's what people do.
It's just getting ridiculous at this point. I mean, you'd be better off doing it behind the scenes. You'd be better off doing it behind the scenes anyway, because then no one knows. No one's going to make fun of you. No one's going to tell you you really shouldn't be making videos. It just should have all been done behind the fucking scenes with all of them. And Ziggler, Jesus Christ, teases it once every 3 years or 5 years when his contract is up.
Mm-hmm.
Never does anything. He's not going anywhere. Lifer, dude.
Oh, no.
Lifer. Absolute lifer. But I don't know. I mean, but seems like this, not the same circumstances, but same thing I said about Tony Storm. These people are starting to realize their self-worth, and they want to work more, and they want to go out. And if this company won't let them do it, they're going to go try to flourish somewhere else, man.
Right.
Or make a name for themselves on the indies and then, you know, give that big middle finger to WWE. But doing it before you're even fucking released is not a good idea, in my opinion. That's all I'm saying.
Probably not. But, I mean, I wonder if what his actual intentions are moving forward even involve wrestling. I mean, he's big into, you know, activism and things like that. He might be looking into a career elsewhere. So who knows if that even, you know, his future includes wrestling to any degree.
Oh, you're right. Might not. And I mean, he could definitely, I mean, a lot of things he could go do. Now he's got a name for himself too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, had the machine behind them for a little bit there with the Retribution thing, even though, I mean, we may not have liked it, but they put a lot of fucking time and effort into that, WWE did.
Right.
So, got a name for himself either way. I wish him luck in whatever he does. And, all right, I guess we can move on to the next topic, which I guess will be this one right here, Smark. A couple of days ago, about 4 days ago, WWE released a statement about the women's street fight, the tag team street fight that we saw on Rampage, correct? And they were not very happy about it. And here was the quote. If you look at the gory self-mutilation that bloodied several women in the December 31st event on TNT, it quickly becomes clear that these are two very different businesses. We had an edgier product in the Attitude Era, and in 2022 world, and in a 2022 world, we don't believe that type of dangerous and brutal display is appealing to network partners, sponsors, venues, children, or the general public as a whole. So that's that. So what do you think about that, Smart?
Think of the children. Won't somebody please think of the children? It's funny that they like never mentioned that, like, we don't think that our fans would enjoy this. It's like, we don't think that our corporate partners would enjoy this. It's like, you'd be a little bit too transparent as to what it is that you're trying to do.
Yeah, and I mean, listen, I know WWE doesn't do blood. Hey, do you remember that night when Nia Jax busted open Becky Lynch? Didn't that make her whole little run? Oh, okay, so they have before. Remember when Brock Lesnar busted Randy Orton open to the point where Jericho damn near fought him because he thought it was real? Remember that? That wasn't that long
ago. Because he insisted that he actually did it to him hard way, so he just elbowed him in the face a shit ton of times, and then eventually started bleeding.
Yeah. I mean, look, I know accidents happen. Cena, bloodied mouth. I mean, listen. These girls chose to do this. It's not like they had a gun to their head and said, you're going to, you know, they weren't taken hostage by Tony Khan and told to go out there and do this or you're all dead. I don't think that's how it worked. I think these girls chose to do this. The match got a lot of buzz, whether they want to admit it or not. It really did. It got a lot of buzz. These girls went out there and kicked fucking ass.
Right. And I think that's kind of the interesting part about the quote that you were reading is that it specifically emphasized women getting bloodied. And it's like, it kind of makes it seem like if it was men, they wouldn't have, or if it were men rather, then they wouldn't have had such a big deal about it. But that's the thing is like everybody in the match were women. It wasn't like it was some guy beating up a woman somewhere, you know, all four competitors were female. And like you said, it boosted the profile of all four women involved. It wasn't a situation like they did with their Queen of the Ring tournament, where it was like every match was 2 minutes long. They actually had an opportunity to show what they could do and, you know, like I said, bolster their profile.
Absolutely, man. 100% agree with everything you just said. And of course, some of the competitors from that match decided to chime in with a tweet of their own. Tay Conti did. With basically she showed her bloody face as she was giving the finger to the camera. I guess it was a picture she just had on her phone. There was that. Anna Jay, a picture of her and Tay Conti in the ring right after the match, just bloodied up. That was posted. The Bunny just posted a bloody picture of herself, and basically that was it. They just don't care. These girls just don't give a shit. They're like, fuck you, WWE. And I love it. I love that attitude. I mean, they didn't say it. They didn't trash talk. They just posted pictures. No captions.
It's not directly related to what we're talking about, but just quotes from women in AEW about WWE. Did you see the thing that Britt Baker put out?
No, go for it, man.
It made me laugh because she was addressing, I guess it was a question that was fielded to her. She was addressing a question where she was like, I need to be careful with how I word this, but you really can't count at anything that they say them actually delivering on. Because she was like, they offered me
deal and they told me they were going to do this, that, and the third. It's like, I'm not sure I believe them. And I was like, well, I'm glad you were careful with how you called them a liar.
That's
like, look, I need to be delicate with how I phrase this, but they are a bunch of fucking shysters.
Yeah. That's like the, I'm not trying to be a dick, but... Yeah, yeah. That's good, though. I mean, really? She no lies detected there. Mm-hmm. None. Zip. Zero. Zilch. So... But I do like the attitude of just, you know, fuck you. We're going to do what we want. We fucking chose to do it. Go screw yourself. I like it.
Right.
It's the attitude.
Yeah, and I just don't get the idea of being like, you know, like commenting on the other company being like, well, they shouldn't be doing this. It's like, well, it's their choice what they do with their company. It's like, it's your choice to, you know, decide how you present yourself to your viewership.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, look, both companies, they are different companies. Absolutely they are. They're not on different nights. They definitely are going to a different audience. AEW is more geared towards the actual demographic that they're trying, that WWE is trying to hit. But WWE, you know, even their own numbers show that their demographic is the above 40 and even above 50-year-olds. So, yeah, AEW actually is getting more of that 18 to 49.
Right.
But, yeah, and as far as I haven't heard one peep out of sponsors complaining. Meltzer hasn't said, have you heard anything from Meltzer about sponsors complaining about that match? Anyone? No?
Well, not Meltzer specifically, but on The Observer, they were talking about how there are certain companies that don't do business with companies that end up, you know, there's more blood on their products. Like, just as an example, you know, UFC, there's usually blood on every one of their shows, just the nature of their sport. And there are certain companies that won't do business with them because of that fact. They were talking about that. So, I mean, you might lose a sponsor or two, or you might have a situation. It's not exactly the same, but like that whole Domino's pizza cutter gate incident. See, every once in a while, there might be a little bit of a kerfluffle, dare I say. But by and large, it's really not that big of a deal.
All right, first of all, watch your fucking language.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I went a little blue there.
I know. I don't know what the fuck a kerfuffle is, but goddammit, it sounded dirty and filthy, and you better stop that.
Mm-hmm. It's not that kind of a show.
Okay, it is. All right. It is. Of course, listen, that thing with Nick Cage was a little different with the pizza cutter, and still they may have, I believe they might've lost a sponsor, but they gained another one. That's what happens. There's always another one waiting at the door. And Tony Khan knows that. We may lose one. We're going to gain another one. It's O-fucking-K.
I was just, out of sheer curiosity, I wanted to like get the exact definition of the term kerfluffle. Yeah. So here we go. Number one, a to-do or fuss. Number two, a disorderly outburst, disturbance, commotion, or tumult. Mm-hmm. Number three, a disorderly outburst or tumult. That's a bit redundant, but there you go.
Okay. I've lived in southern states a long time, never heard that word, but I appreciate it. I will use it tomorrow. That's probably how I would feel in the morning, kerfuffled. Kerfuffled? Kerfluffled? Which one?
It's just a fun word to say, but I always wondered exactly what it was that it meant. I mean, I know it was like a, you know, synonym of a to-do or, like I said, fuss.
Well, there you go, folks. We get definitions. You get definitions on this show. How many shows do you get definitions?
Synonym. Man, it just keeps giving you more fun words, too, because then there's synonyms. Ballyhoo.
Ooh. Belly, ooh. Belly, who's a fish? I used to fish with those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's good for billfish, swordfish, marlin. You use ballyhoo, and you troll them behind the boat.
Hullabaloo. That's a good one.
Ooh, I like hullabaloo.
Hurly burly.
Ooh, the old hurly burly. Sounds like a country song. Everybody do the hurly burly. Come on and shake your turly.
That's it.
Boy, my hair is curly. You can't see because I got a hat on.
The new banger from Toby Keith. Out on iTunes right now.
Oh, if it was Toby Keith, I'd have to throw in, oh, America.
Yeah, you gotta throw an America in there every now and again.
I still say he profited off 9/11 and he's a scumbag. But anyway.
Former TNA legend.
He does have a couple songs I like. I'm not going to lie. He does. It's Mark, in honor of you on this morning. I listened to Jimmy Buffett on the way to work.
Wow, I thought about three different responses and none of them were like even appropriate for how I felt I would have said it. Like, even by my standards, it was just like, yeah, no, that's a little too much.
Why don't you just go with one of your stories?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's see here. We're going to, I guess since we're going to stick in with, that's not a phrase, we're going to stick with the WWE portion of the program. This is from the Wrestling Observer, Scotty Too Hotty. Vince McMahon wanted WWE NXT coaches to, quote, look younger by dyeing beards and cutting hair. I kind of already gave away the end of the story here, but anyways, in his first interview since asking for his release from WWE, Scotty Too Hotty talked to Chris Jericho about why he wanted out in his final days with the brand, including an edict. There we go again with that. Vince McMahon laid down about how the coaches should look. Scotty Too Hotty said that among the changes backstage, like requiring trainers to dress in business casual attire after years of wearing branded tracksuits. They mafia numbers? You want everybody to dress like you're in Tony Soprano's mob.
They took my gold chains, too. I couldn't believe it.
McMahon decreed that the trainers should, quote, look younger by dyeing their beards, cutting their hair, even though they weren't on camera. Garland, real name for Scotty Too Hotty, who had been a trainer for 4 years in NXT, said he lost sleep over the new rules, thinking that if it was a new requirement, what else could be coming next? Mm. He said in his first 4 years in NXT was a dream job, and that it was the hottest brand in wrestling for a long time. He understands why all the changes happened, but that in the end, that the end of Paul Levesque era, quote, pisses you off, but it's also sad. We lost this thing. It's like dealing with a death. Garland said that Levesque used to say that they can make millions off bottling up the NXT culture. All right. But to Garland, that culture has been lost to a degree with the changes. Quote, it was the coolest environment I've been around in 30 years of pro wrestling, he said. He requested his release because he wasn't having any fun, and it was time to move on. He felt it was the same as he re-signed a 3-year deal in 2006 and was cut a year later. He vowed then to never keep working somewhere if he wasn't happy, leading to his decision. Mm-hmm. He said he looked around at people like Jericho, Matt Hardy, Matt Cardona, and others around his age having fun in AEW and the Indies, and that if he was ever going to get back in the ring, the time was now to do that. After making his in-ring debut against George and Ella, Garland said his goal is to have fun. He's unsure what name he's going to use, but already has dates booked overseas and is excited about what is to come. So there you go.
You done?
I am done.
Okay. Did anyone ever just want to look at Vince and go, you first? You dye your fucking hair first, okay? No, I know none of them would say that. Now, I got to tell you, Scotty Too Hotty don't look so fucking old to me.
Nah, he looks all right.
Number one, I would hope to look that. I mean, how old is he? He's in his mid-50s, right?
I believe so. Let me take a look here just to be sure.
Yeah, if you don't mind real fast. I don't want to tie up computers tonight because it's all jacked up. So... I believe it's like 52, 53, though.
Let's see, 73, so let's do the math on that. That is going to put him at 48.
Yeah, he's only a few years older than me. All right, well. I guess I can hope to look that good at 48, but I don't see that happening. Okay. That's only 2 years away from me. It's just very strange, though, that they would do that. These guys aren't on television. Why would they have to look younger for any fucking reason? If they're good coaches, they're good coaches. If they're doing the job, they're doing the job. Plain and fucking simple. Who cares?
Yeah, they don't show the coaches on TV. So, like, what is really the point of that?
No, I mean, Matt Bloom's still a coach, right? A-Train.
I believe Albert. So, yeah.
All right, yeah. I mean, when was the last time you saw him on television?
NXT, he's going to have a real hard time dyeing his hair.
Well, you know, he could just put some of that Hulk Hogan stuff up there.
That Hulk, there you go.
Same stuff Hulk used to put in his beard. He could put a little bit up there. What do you think, Vince? You fucking idiot. All right. This is once again, I mean, let's always put these two words in front of it. If true, this is stupid.
It really is.
I mean, I'm trying to sit here and make some sort of logical sense of this, and the only words I can really come up with are this is stupid. It's not even petty. It's just dumb and ridiculous. And I actually, if he really did lose sleep over this, wow. Well, I mean, I guess when you really give a shit about a job, I haven't been there in so long. I haven't had that feeling in a long time, Smart.
Yeah, like if you actually care about what you do, and I can't imagine how that feels.
No,
having to work for like a certified lunatic who's just like, any day he could just come into the office and be like, I've decided now everybody has to wear a top hat. It's like, that has to be kind of unnerving.
Yeah, and I mean, just think about this. You're being told that, and then you see all these people around you being let go. You see the brand changing. Maybe you see the fucking writing on the wall. If you, I mean, maybe they weren't going to get rid of him, but look, he said his own words. He wasn't happy anymore. He wasn't having fun doing it. And I mean, look, the guy's probably got the money and the, you know, resources to be able to take some time off. So good for him. And he's got a shitload he can do. He can get back in the ring. He can go back and run into burning buildings, whatever he wants to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's taken some booking, so he's going to be all right for himself, I believe.
Good. Very good. I hope he does do all right for himself, man. I mean, it's, look, if you're not happy, you're not happy. If you have the means to, you know, walk away from a job, then that's great. Most of us don't. Most of us just got to stick it out and do it, and, you know, take the screwing.
Bohica.
Ah, yes, the old Bohica. Here it comes again. All right. Anyway, good luck to Scotty Too Hotty. Go out there and kick some ass, man.
Yeah.
Go out there and kick some ass. So, you know what, Smart? Go ahead and grab another one, because really we only have a couple more, and then we're going to get into a few things, and then we're going to get into AEW, which most of my news ties into the rest of my news ties into AEW.
Sure, I guess this makes logical sense to just keep the NXT train going, or former members of NXT. Again, from the Observer at 4wonline.com, the former Isaiah Swerve Scott is headed to Terminus, which sounds a lot cooler than it actually is. Well, Terms has announced that Shane Strickland will be at their show in Atlanta on Thursday, February 24th. The show will be the second ever Terminus event. Less than a month after making his main roster debut, Strickland was released by WWE on November 18th. His hero stablemates Top Dollar and Ashante The Adonis were also part of that round of roster cuts. Hit Row's B-Fab was released on November 4th. Mm-hmm. Strickland is a former NXT North American champion Terminus, which is a new promotion from Jonathan Gresham and Darren, debuted with their first ever event airing live on Fight TV this past Sunday. Gresham will defend his Ring of Honor world title against AEW's Santana at the February 24th Terminus show. It was also announced that the Wrestling Revolver will host a Swerve's House event with Strickland in action, one would imagine, on Saturday, April 16th. That show is taking place at the Horizon Event Center in Clive, Iowa.
Nice.
So if you want to watch wrestling and buy meth, you know where to go.
There you go. And you know what? I believe on this on the same show is going to be Santana accepted a challenge also for something. I believe he challenged. Yeah. I believe he challenged Jonathan Gresham, right? No,
he was saying that that's February 24th. Santana and Gresham.
Okay, it was Santana and Gresham. Okay, I just wanted to throw that one out there also. Oh, there it is. Yeah. Okay. I didn't even hear you mention that, but I remember seeing it earlier today. I'm sorry, I was taking a hit and coughing.
Oh, SBC mentioned the MLWWE lawsuit, which we talked about last week, but from what I was hearing, the people that MLW have representing them is like basically a who's who of lawyers. Yeah. Like, I didn't know that at the time because I don't keep up with lawyers.
Oh, we talked about
them. I don't necessarily find myself in the position to need them often. That's kind of my privilege, I suppose. But apparently they are some fucking heavy hitters. One of the guys represented Trump while he was president until like 2017. Yeah. So they're not fucking around, I guess, to kind of just touch back on base what we were talking about last week.
Yeah, and we did get into the lawyer, the firm. We did get into the firm where they've got offices and a couple little things about them. But listen, I'm going to say one more time. If they can prove any of that, and by the way, Eric asked a question last week that you think any other companies are going to come out. I believe ROH came out and actually said that Stephanie herself made a phone call. Or Triple H. I think he said Triple H himself made a phone call trying to disrupt their TV show somewhere also. I could look for that article in a few minutes here. But, if they can prove any of that, they might have a case. I got a feeling this is going to get swept under the rug and or settled out of court. WWE believes that they're not credible. They're not. That there's nothing to them. They're fucking empty threats, basically. And yeah, I mean, look, again, there were 80 points, over 80 points in that filing they did. Yes, some of them did mention WWE, you know, oh, the WWE, they're kind of basically a monopoly. They've been dominating the 85% of the business for this long, blah, blah, blah. Yes, of course. That's what you do. You try to make points and keep them going. It's like an outline. An outline, Smart. Remember those when you were in school? Remember doing outlines?
Mm-hmm.
Some people still have to do them. And that's pretty much what that was. But, I mean, over 80 points, people are kind of focusing on the fact that they're just kind of whining and crying about WWE being this big conglomerate, and they're not. I don't think that's what they were doing. We read a few that have that sounded pretty shitty and bad business and unethical.
Right.
And there are ethics laws, as are there antitrust violations. That's why we have both antitrust laws and ethics laws out there.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to keep it fair. This is a free market, and we need to keep it that way.
Indeed.
In my opinion, I believe in the free market we have right now. But anyway, back to the Terminus show. I think that's where we started all this.
Yes.
That's good, man. I'm glad. Listen, they've got his own little promotion. It's getting a little buzz already. That's a good thing. I don't know how long the buzz will last, but it's good that they're getting, you know, they're already getting people in there like Santana and, you know, Swerve. He's got a name for himself and, you know, Lucha Underground, all kinds of stuff. And NXT / I don't know if I would even bring up Hit Row, but I'm telling you, Hit Row is a very proper name. I'm telling you, man, they literally were in a row. They had hits on them.
That's it.
In a row, they all got hit.
it was actually amazing. We've talked about this before, but it was kind of funny because the thing that stuck out to me when they were on NXT, it was like it didn't seem like they knew what they were. And by they, I mean like the creative team. Like they didn't know what Hit Row was. And it got even worse when they got on to SmackDown. It just seemed like they had no idea what they wanted the group to be, what their kind of motives were, and, you know, that kind of thing. And I was listening to an interview that Mercedes Martinez was doing where she was talking about Retribution. And she said that she asked them, like, the day that they were debuting, like, what the group was about. Like, what their goal, what their drive was, what was kind of, you know, forcing their hand, what was causing them to act the way that they acted. And they, she said that they told her that they didn't really know. And it was like, yeah, that kind of sums up how they treat stables in general. It's like, yeah, we're going to debut people. We don't know what their motives are, but here they are.
Yeah, see, that's awful, man. I mean, look, you don't have to, not everything has to have a complete beginning, middle, and end before you do it, but you should at least have, once again, an outline of where you're going with it. And again, I'm no writer or anything, but I would think that's kind of the way to go. Because if you've got nothing, then you're just on the fly coming up with shit every week. And that's probably the whole reason that a lot of shit they were doing didn't make sense. They were losing, 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 they were losing. That didn't make sense. And I guess that was because people were just coming up with shit on the fly.
Exactly.
I guess. So, but anyway, good for this little Terminus thing here, though. I'm glad he, I mean, listen, second show, and he's already getting a little bit of buzz on it. And, you know, Jonathan Gresham's gonna definitely, I don't mean to be rude about this, but just because of who he's with, he'll be able to keep his PR going.
Oh, sure. Yes, absolutely. But it is cool to see, like, you know, even just on a small scale of, like, wrestlers opening up their own promotions because, you know, whole pandemic and all of that hit and it became, there became less and less places for people to work. But, you know, it's just cool to see more companies opening up.
Absolutely, man. Any more places for these guys to, you know, I mean, a lot of people are just wanting to leave WWE right now. And if they can, you know, any indie they can go to jump on and make a little money. Go for it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes, sir. So, all right. I guess if you want to hit your last one, I'm just making sure AEW, and then we'll get into the Walter thing. I'm sorry. We'll get into the right name in a few minutes. I misspoke, everybody. Please, Mark, go ahead, and then we'll get into that.
All right, so we are about to get to the bottom of a mystery that's been plaguing everybody's minds for the last couple of days. Did The Rock buy a T-Rex? This is from Fightful.com. Dwayne Johnson shut down rumors that he is the anonymous owner of Stan. In 1987, South Dakota, an amateur paleontologist named Stan, not going to try that last name, discovered the fossil of a mostly complete... I was going good until the name showed up. A mostly complete 39-foot-long Tyrannosaurus Rex nicknamed Stan. It was excavated in 1992 and had long been housed at the private Black Hills Institute of Geological Research in Hill City, South Dakota. That changed on October 6, 2020, when the London-based auction house Christie's sold the T-Rex for a record $31.8 million, the highest price ever paid for a fossil. The second highest was when Dixie Carter brought in Hogan. The previous record was set in 1997 with the scale of another large complete T-Rex for $8.36 million. Yeah, there's a lot of money in the T-Rex business. Yeah. If you can dig one up, you're going to be doing well for yourself. On Monday, a giant T-Rex skull was spotted behind Johnson during his virtual appearance on Monday Night Football with Peyton and Eli Manning. Eli even pointed out the dinosaur, with Johnson saying, quote, "I got a T-Rex skull, yes." I like that quote. Anyways, quote, "I got a T-Rex skull, yes, that's Stan. So as a matter of fact, Stan is the most complete T-Rex skull ever found by a paleontologist, a young paleontologist, and his name was Stan, so the T-Rex was named after him. Pretty cool and badass, isn't it?" Taking to Instagram just a day later, the former WWE superstar clarified that he's not the mystery buyer of Stan, and that was seen in his home was just a replica. After my live interview on last night's hashtag Manning cast on And yes, NHL is Monday Night Football.
Yes.
The National Hockey League is broadcasting football these days. After my live interview on last night's Manning cast on NFL's Monday Night Football, there's been tons of worldwide speculation in the world of science that I am the, quote, mystery buyer of an original T-Rex skull known as Stan. I am not the mystery buyer. In my home office, this is my replica cast, in all capitals, of Stan that I had made and purchased from my friends at the Black Hills Institute of Geological Research and Paleontological Excavations. Swipe left and you'll meet my team. Do it. Swipe left on whatever it is that you're listening to this on. The original Stan was founded in 1987. Yeah, we already talked about that part. But anyways, yes, The Rock did not buy a T-Rex, if you were curious.
What I'm impressed with is this man managed to tweet and not promote his tequila.
Yeah, I think if I had a tequila, I would be constantly promoting it as well.
I'm just saying.
And I just mean, like, not even if I had my own. Like, if I just bought a bottle of tequila, I would be posting about it.
Okay, I get you. I get you. Might be good for the weekend. It's going to be cold. Going to be cold this weekend. Might need to warm up with a little bit of alcohol because I ain't fucking doing nothing this weekend. Enough last weekend. Anywho, okay, so he has a replica, and this is what people are worried about now, whether or not he spent $31 million. I mean, even if he did, who fucking cares?
All right, now see, I think what I didn't even consider about this, and I think what we need to get to the bottom of, is it more nerdy to pay like $30,000 to get a replica T-Rex skull or to buy a replica wrestling belt?
I'm going to have to go with the belt.
Yeah. Unless you put the belt on the dinosaur.
Well, let me put it this way. If you have a T-Rex skull that you paid money for and it's there, it's decorative, people come over, you see it. If you buy a replica belt, you are still not the fucking champion. Okay?
That's true.
Okay, that's
if you can have a replica dinosaur skull commissioned, you have enough money to not care whether or not people think you're a nerd.
Yeah, The Rock has real belts, so it's okay.
That's true.
Yeah, but I mean that people are worried about who cares? Who fucking cares? And who the fuck, I mean, Jesus Christ, who even knows about, I've never even heard of this, and I believe that last name is Sackerson.
That sounds about right. Stan Sackerson.
I'm thinking of other ways to say it, and the only other way I could think would be Sackerson. But I don't see it any other way besides Sackerson or Sackerson. I'm going to go with Sackerson.
Either way, he's going to get you a nice, sweet-ass deal on like a newer used Toyota. Because he definitely sounds like a car dealer.
He's a paleontologist, goddammit.
Well, yes, now. But like he had to afford college somehow. Wow. So it's, you know, Steve Sackerson's Toyota.
Maybe. That does sound good. I like that.
Robin Williams working with him in the Cadillac Man days.
Out of Hill City, South Dakota. Great. I fucking love that movie. Great reference, dude.
Oh, that's it.
That really was, man. You just brought me. I love that movie just for Robin Williams. Great character. God.
And the unlikeliest of all unlikely nude scenes, you had to see a little bit of Fran Drescher titty.
You did get a slight look at a little bit of right nipple, I believe, on Fran Drescher. Lori Petty was in that movie. Tim Robbins. Yeah, it's his name. Yeah, he was in that movie. Great movie. Really fucking good movie there. I like that movie. I watched that all the time. It was on Hulu for a while, and they took it off. And then literally it went from Hulu to Netflix, and they took that off. And by the way, just as I'm talking about Hulu, that David Arquette thing is still on there.
I have seen it.
Well, if anybody still wants to watch it, it's still on there. It's still up. It says it's going to be up for another couple of months. So if you still want to check that out, it's still up there on Hulu. I just thought I'd mention that real quick while we were talking about Hulu.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just thought I'd throw that out there. Been trying very hard not to restart NYPD Blue.
Is that also on Hulu?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
So, been watching a lot of movies. It's actually where I got the idea to talk about Lachlan Monroe on Saturday night, because I was watching Night at the Roxbury.
Ah.
And he popped up. And then I'm like, you know, I wonder if I could do a whole show on that guy. And I look at his IMDb, and there's over 200 credits to his name.
There you go.
I think I can talk about this guy for a little while. So, might not be the longest show, but it'll be a good one at that. And by the way, I will be live on YouTube for that one, popping out some pictures for you guys, just to do it. So
I am in the midst right now of working my way through, for the first time, The Sopranos. I finished season 2 today.
You know, I have that too, and I need to watch that. I still need to watch The Wire, which I've got.
The Wire is wonderful.
I need to watch that. I was actually watching Hill Street Blues on Hulu, and I can't get into it, but I need to, because Dennis Franz shows up, who plays Sipowicz on NYPD Blue. He shows up in it in the fourth season. I've made it to the second season. I need to get back into it, and it's such an old show. It's just hard for me to. Some of the references are old, and it's just very. I don't get some of them, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not gonna go look them up. That'll make me feel even older. So, but anyway.
Yeah, anywho. Sopranos is like that too. Because like one of the first episodes, they hijack a truck. And they like steal like VHS CD or VHS tapes or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I think they were DVD players, but even still, they were just regular ass DVD players, not Blu-rays or anything like that. Okay. Even now, DVDs are becoming less and less prevalent. So
nice. And you know, speaking of movies and everything, I'm just going to bring this up real quick and then we'll move on. I read today the director of the first Heat movie is in talks to do a Heat 2.
Electric Boogaloo? Are they going to be trying to save the rec center?
I don't know, but obviously it's going to be without, unless it's a prequel, it's going to be without De Niro. Mm-hmm. Well, he died in the first one.
Spoilers.
I will. Fucking movie
spoiler. Of a movie that is probably about as old as I am?
Probably close to it. I just want to know if Al Pacino got a new TV.
Perhaps.
I mean, he kicked that one out on the street, so hopefully he got a new TV. You can fuck my wife. You can sit on my couch. But you cannot watch my TV!
There you have it. And if you want to keep this wrestling related, the Peacemaker TV show debuted Thursday. It's got old John Cena starring in it. Apparently, it like opens up with him banging a girl. So if you want to see John Cena having a sex scene, HBO Max is where you need to go.
All right. Well, you can watch many, a couple. At one time, he was, according to Amy Schumer, he was really inside her.
That poor guy.
Well, so was Dolph Ziggler. So.
I mean, he's taken a lot of bad bumps in his day. That's probably the worst of them.
I'm not sure if you're talking about Ziggler anymore. Anyway.
I mean, it works for either one, honestly. They're interchangeable.
Very true. Very true. Very true. Very true. Very true. But, all right. I guess we can go ahead and get into this little Walter thing now. I've never seen the internet lose their mother fucking mind over a name change like this one.
It was so funny because like 7 o'clock yesterday roundabout, I was sitting there thinking, I was like, man, I'm kind of a slow news week. It's like, I wonder what it is that we're going to talk about. Oh, later on that night, NXT gifted us a treasure. Yes,
gifted. They did. They did give us some treasures. So I guess Walter finally debuted on NXT last night. And I believe, from what I read earlier, I believe at the end of his match, basically said his new name is Gunther. Now, the original name was going to be Gunther Stark. They found out that guy was an actual Nazi Navy boat commander. So I guess they just went with Gunther. Now, in December, Kyle O'Reilly, I don't have the tweet in front of me, but someone was talking about Walter coming to NXT, and Kyle O'Reilly was like, yeah, just make sure they don't strap Gunther with a gimmick, you know, that he's, it was, I forget what it was, but he was just, but he said the name Gunther, even in December. I guess he knew, I guess there was talks going around that that's what was going on. I'm not pissed about this name change. Hurricane Helms, Shane Helms actually had probably, of course, he always likes to chime in, and he's very good at the social media thing, I will say. Hurricane Helms, here it is, tweet. In my WWE TV debut, I lost, and he puts a colon, and he goes, not that kind of colon, Smark, stop it right now.
Oh, dear.
Okay, I lost my name, my gimmick, my entrance, my song, my finisher, and my WCW Cruiserweight Championship all in one night. If I survive that, Walter will be just fine. Okay. Now, I know the whole argument, Smark, and I'm sure it's going to come up. Yes, he's been Walter the whole time. He's been Walter over there in the UK. I get it. But it's not trademarks work, everybody. Doesn't matter if you own the company. If you've got that trademark under the UK company, it's probably cheaper to go ahead and just change the name. And then you can re-trademark that without having to pay the trademark fee plus a new trademark fee. See how that works?
Mm-hmm.
That might be it. Or they just wanted to change his fucking name. I'm not as upset as the rest of the internet is. Even Keith Lee said, man, if what I'm hearing is real, poor Walter. You should have said poor Gunther. Lance Storm chimed in. Need I remind everyone, Vince saw me as the partying dancing guy. Gunther is too much of a stretch all of a sudden. See, it's just, this is nothing new. This is nothing weird. WWE changes people's names all the time.
Sure.
Go ahead.
So real quick here, I guess the quote that you were looking at here is from WWE on Fox. This was from December 26, 2019. Says, can we just have Walter chop Kyle O'Reilly combat for the entire thing? I am referring to some sort of a match. Kyle O'Reilly replies with, ha, that's assuming between now and then Gunther doesn't get distracted by a chocolate river, falls into said river, and the Imperiumpas do some weird German dance number. Highly likely scenario. More likely than you would have thoughts, or there you go, there is that. About the name change, though, it's like the thing that's interesting is like people, you have basically three sides of the coin here. You have people that are, well, four. You have people that are outraged. You have people who are finding it amusing, which I fall into this camp. You have people who are actually trying to defend it, being like, you know, they've gone through a common name in Germany. Mm-hmm. And then you have these people who, actually, you know what? I don't remember what the fourth camp was going to be. I got sidetracked there. But here's the thing. They didn't need to change the man's name. It's that simple. Like, you could have left it as Walter. I know what you're saying about, you know, potential copyrights, but, like, you know, just it's kind of silly, really, because, like, they filed for the full name, and the name ended up being this famous Nazi. And it's like, you really could have done a quick Google on this first.
Right.
And this is where you would have gotten the red flags to not do this. But the thing is like, all right, if you're just going with the fact that it's like, well, it's just Gunther. It's like, yeah, they registered the full name. So, like, either they're going to call him the full name later on, or they themselves realize the error in their ways and they're admitting that they done fucked up.
That could be too. But then again, let's face it, if he was that name, which, I mean, I should be offended by it more than most people. I wouldn't even have cared. I wouldn't have known who it was if everyone didn't start bringing it up. But it's the dangers of social media now. No one would have fucking really cared. Mm. But Listen, if he got to the main roster, they would have killed the last name anyway. How many times have they done that? Big E Langston. Big E. Many people have lost their fucking last names. I mean, Ali lost his first name for a while. Mustafa Ali was just Ali.
Mm-hmm.
People do that. They do that in WWE all the time. This is no shock. Yeah, they tried to get a Nazi's name. Okay. Life sucks. There's a lot of names out there. Listen, if you dug into a lot of people's names, you could probably find someone who's done some really nasty shit under their name. Really, you could. So, I don't know. It's just, we're concentrating on too much shit that's not fucking important these days. Like someone's fucking name on a television show.
I think that's what I'm saying. That's where I personally find this amusing, is that it would have taken all of about 2 minutes to do a fucking quick Google search. Like, outside of just, okay, yeah, they're not going to, I hope, I'm going to put a big fucking caveat on I hope, so that I don't have to revisit this quote in a week or two. But I hope that they're not going to make him a Nazi. That doesn't seem like a good idea for a face character in 2022. But I don't think they're actually going to make him a Nazi. But shit, like I said, it takes a minute or two to do a quick Google. And it just kind of shows, it's like this is a multi-million, this billion-dollar company that can't have anyone on their fucking payroll just do a quick Google search. It just makes it look so sloppy and amateurish.
Yeah, and I mean, the whole Nazi thing, let's face it, Imperium is very, how do I, militant.
Yes.
Is that a good way to, is that the PC way to put it?
I mean, we have referred to them as wrestle Nazis on the show a couple of times.
Yeah, good name. good name for a show, wrestle Nazis.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if we said that exact term, but I like it. They are very militant. They are sort of Nazi-ish. I mean, they've got the blonde hair, blue eyes. It's not completely, I mean, they're not going to Heil Hitler. I mean, they already had a problem with that. Thank you, JBL.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, you can sit there and you can love on JBL all you want. The fact that he even had the, even as, I don't care if you were trying to be a heel, the fact that you even did that is pretty fucking, I find that scummy. I'm just, as a Jewish person, I find that pretty scummy.
As at a house show.
Right.
Like, you don't really need to work that hard to get heat at a house show.
No, especially not in Germany.
Yeah, it was not great.
Yeah, I'm again, you want to say, oh, I was just being a heel. No, you were being the piece of shit fucking, you were probably thinking that Eddie Guerrero was crossing the border too. That was probably your, right. Those were probably your heydays chasing fucking Mexicans across the border. But anyway, let's just leave that alone. Fuck JBL. I'll leave it at that.
Well, actually, I think that kind of all goes into why people are outraged. Like I said, I more than anything just find it funny,
right,
that they can't put in a little fucking legwork, especially after this happened a couple years ago and they got the bright idea to name a female stable the Submission Sorority.
Yes.
And then it turned out there was a porn website with the same name. So it's like, you would have figured by now, you would have learned to just do a quick Google every so often before you introduce a new character.
Well, Naomi backwards is I moan.
This is, well, and Lana backwards.
I know that one.
Now that I think about it, they actually teamed them together, and I think I get what they were trying to do.
I know what they were doing there.
Have them managed by Relic.
Oh, shit. Red rum. Anyway, anyway, we're I really think people are just blowing this out of the fucking way out of proportion. It's not that big a fucking deal. WWE does this all the time. What I do agree with Smart, the fact that they couldn't do a quick Google search on that name and see who came up. especially a billion-dollar company with, I'm sure some little fucking poor social media guy had time on his hands to fucking go to Google. So I totally agree with you there. But again, even if they did, all they would have done is drop the last name like they did already. So y'all can bitch, y'all can piss, y'all can moan all you want. This is the way it's going to be. This is it.
Yeah, I mean, to kind of summarize where they are as a company, they opened up Raw by doing, because it was Martin Luther King Day, they did a video package on Martin Luther King. And then they immediately transitioned into plugging their pay-per-view in Saudi Arabia, which, I mean, if anybody believes in equality, it is the fine folks of Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, this is the same company that doesn't want children or anyone, you know, sponsors or anyone getting the wrong idea. Blood money coming up.
Yes, they want blood on the money, not on the performers.
Yes, yes, different. Very good, very good. I like that. That's nice. All right. All right. Anyway, I think we're done with the Waldron thing. It's just not as big of a deal as everyone's making. I find it comical on what social media loses their mind over. I really do. And this ain't one. This ain't one. Let's just deal with it. Yeah, bad. Yeah. Has he, I mean, yeah, he's been Walter all this time. They change his name. Dewdrop. Dewdrop. She was Piper Niven's, remember? Just over in the UK, and they acted like she didn't fucking exist, and they called her Dewdrop. Anyone surprised by this name change hasn't been watching. And I'm not even watching WWE right now, and I know their fucking MO.
I think even outside of the whole controversy of that, though, like Keith Lee said, poor Walter, like, I think anybody knows. Because when Keith Lee, like, when they first started bringing out Keith Lee, like, onto the main roster, there was minor shit that people said that everybody was overreacting, because it started off with the theme music, and then it was the tights, and then it became the name. And, like, everybody was like, ah, oh, you're making a mountain out of a molehill, and then suddenly, you know, sure enough, he got fired. So it's like, this is already an auspicious start
right
to his sort of main, because he's on NXT, so he's not on the main roster proper, but his sort of, you know, stint in WWE outside of NXT UK, it's not off to a great start.
No, not really. But again, I mean, they moved these people over from NXT UK, and this, I guarantee almost everyone moving over from the UK side is going to get a name change. I almost fucking guarantee it.
Probably.
Yep. So strap on your hats, folks. It's going to be a bumpy ride. Put on your helmets.
Oh, no.
Do you have a helmet?
No helmets. I have a skull cap.
That'll work, brother.
It's just, you know, helmets kind of further goes along with what it was that we were talking about.
Okay. Not a motorcycle guy either, huh?
No.
No? Ever ridden? Can you ride?
I cannot ride. The closest I could say that I've done is, like, when I was a little kid, my uncle had a dirt bike. He would let me ride on the back of that. I do have people in my family that have motorcycles and are bikers of a sort, not necessarily in a gang, but
club.
Yeah. Oh yes. Club. I should have known better than to, you know, say it in that phrasing.
There's plenty of just motorcycle clubs out there. Just get together and ride and do good stuff for people. It's all right, man. It's all right.
Yeah.
I love fucking bikes, man. I started riding when I had a little Honda 50Z, and I was probably 10, 11 years old when I started riding dirt bikes and motorcycles, and I've ridden Harleys. I had a Honda Shadow 1150 or 1100, excuse me, in Florida. I love motorcycles. I would love to get one here. My wife said I got to wait till one of the kids is 18, so they better fucking they better grow quick.
There you go.
Well, one's 13. I'm getting there, man.
See, there you go. There's a little bit of an olive branch there. Baron Corbin can ride a motorcycle, according to SBC.
sucking millions of people in this country.
I mean, I guess if I had to, I probably could, but I never learned how to ride a proper bicycle, actually.
Really? That's what I was going to say. If you can ride a bike, you can probably get on. The only thing you have to learn is the gearing. Most of them are one down, and then you go up, 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 up with the gears. But that's just the way it usually goes. But I don't know, man. I love it. I love riding. I love riding motorcycles. My my nephews have them when I go up there. We ride a little bit. Four-wheelers. Love four-wheelers. I was even back in the day, the old... before they banned three-wheelers from being sold, I used to ride three-wheelers. I fell. I got hurt a few times.
See, that was, I think that was the reason why I didn't learn how to ride a bicycle. I had like a little four-wheeler as a kid. It was, you know, obviously child size, but I would just ride that wherever, whenever I was outside.
There you go. My kids are okay on bikes. They're better on scooters and four-wheelers, so I put them on those. But they do know how to ride a bike. So they're getting there. I haven't put him on dirt bikes yet. I'm afraid to put my older one on one. I think he'll just immediately try to do a wheelie and fall backwards.
I now appreciate how people in the chat are just listing off various people who can ride a motorcycle.
Evil Knievel.
Apparently Raquel Gonzalez can ride a motorcycle and potentially other things if she feels so inclined.
Well, according to Braun Strowman, her and him and Raquel Gonzalez have sex. That's what he said.
They want it to be in those terms.
He actually,
like, totally, all caps, have sex.
We have sex. That was exactly what he put. But Hogan actually used to ride with Vince. There's pictures of them riding together.
I have to find that. He is such a fucking nerd. Oh my god, if you just literally just put like, oh, we have sex, like, you, okay, you and your Canadian girlfriend,
big dumb muscles, ooh.
It's like, dude, you are tall and you are ripped. You should not be in your like 30s and bragging. It's like, oh, I totally got laid. But yeah, it makes it harder to believe.
It does. Now that you know what, you're right.
All where right. It's like, you don't see people like the Miz is like, oh, I totally got laid last night. It's like, you're married.
See, this is what happens. I didn't feel good at the beginning of the show. We start going, and like by now, I'm like, man, we could go another fucking hour. I don't want to go another hour. We're actually going to get an AAW in just a minute here.
Oh, man, last one, Chuck Palumbo.
Oh,
motorcycle.
He's got a fucking shop. Oh, like,
well, yes, but I didn't want to miss out on an opportunity to mention Chuck Palumbo.
Well, listen. I know he's the video guy over there at AEW.
Doing a solid job.
That's a running joke. Please don't anyone call him the fucking... No, he's not the video... It's a running joke on the show, everybody. Calm down. Pretty much everyone in the chat knows that. Undertaker. I mean, come on. Geist ride a fucking motorcycle to the ring. Dirk. Come on, man. Come on, Dirk. Yeah, there you go. A lot of bikers. A lot of bikers in wrestling, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Gender can ride a motorcycle. That's great. Well, I guess we can move on from that and get right into AEW at that point. Randy Orton. Well, that doesn't surprise me. You see where we're going with kind of the older generation here, everybody? Being able to ride motorcycles. Anyone see?
Yeah, I'm noticing a certain type of person too that seems to be coming up more often than certain other types of people.
Yeah.
Seems like it's a lot of white dudes and Jinder Mahal.
Jinder Mahal, yeah. Actually, there's pictures of Booker T on a motorcycle too.
That's true.
Many pictures of Booker T on a motorcycle. Why do I think there's a picture of Mabel on a motorcycle?
I'll take a look. I don't know how I'm going to find this, but I'll give it a shot.
I don't know. Maybe not. If you can find one, that's fine. SBC says Chris Jericho. He can't ride. I will bet you Jericho can ride a motorcycle. I will bet you money he can.
I think the easier way to do this is just type in pro wrestlers, not motorcycles.
Hasn't Jericho rode a motorcycle in on AEW once, didn't they? No. Didn't they all ride in on motorcycles? No? I'm wrong. I thought they may have. But anyway, let's get into AEW while you're looking that up, Smark, and you can just chime on in. And you know,
I'm gonna post it in the Mixler chat. I found one immediately of Brock Lesnar on a motorcycle.
There you go.
It is hilarious because he looks like he's riding a child's tricycle.
It's probably
because he is just a fucking giant of a man.
Please tell me it's a fat boy he's riding.
Hold on. I don't know.
I'm pulling it up here. Oh no, it's a custom. That is a custom job. They are low to the ground, those customs, and Brock Lesnar is a giant human being. But that is a nice custom bike.
And nobody said Goldberg, which makes me laugh because there's all kinds of photos of Goldberg on a motorcycle.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely Goldberg. He showed up on a couple of TV shows riding motorcycles. So, but I like the gold minivan behind. Is that Sue's minivan?
Not sure.
Brock hanging out with Sue?
Yeah, you never know.
All right, enough motorcycle talk. Me and, I remember after the show, me and Bod used to talk about motorcycles all the time.
Yeah, he loves him some motorcycles.
He does love him some motorcycles, sir. He does. He's got a nice one, too. I've seen pictures of it.
It's a shame that we didn't start with this earlier, because I would have loved to have just done like an hour on like wrestlers and motorcycles and just ended it. Well, like, they didn't talk about the Walter thing once. It was the weirdest shit.
Well, we'll save that for another night. Let's go ahead and jump into it. It's almost 11 o'clock here, so almost midnight for you. So let's go ahead and jump into AEW here. Couple quick things. I'm sure you guys might have been wondering where Eddie Kingston was tonight. It looks like he did fracture his orbital bone, and he's hoping to return in 3 weeks. So did get hurt, and there you go with that real quick. That was just something to throw out there. Moxie did come back tonight by himself. Now, it's funny, Smark. We were talking, you know, obviously about Moxley. Is he going to defend his title at GCW? They did announce he was going to be defending his title. And we said it would be a little weird if AEW didn't bring him back first. And they did. Moxley came back with a bang. He had to tell a fan to go fuck himself. A fan who screamed that he was, I believe this fam, the fan screamed something to the effect of, get your drunken ass out of the ring or something like that.
The exact quote, yeah. And because I saw the clip and I listened to it a couple of times, was, get the garbage truck and get this piece of trash out of the ring.
Ah.
Which, I mean, boy, was that a harsh heckle.
Yeah, pretty fucking shitty, and I like how Moxley just immediately fucking, I don't know what else the guy was doing that we didn't see on TV, but obviously there was something going on, but I can't do it justice. Let's do this.
Hey, go fuck yourself. Get that guy out of here. Piece of shit. A little while ago.
There you go. Go fuck yourself. Get that guy out of here. Imagine literally just being at the show. Do they do dark before or after?
I think they do it before.
I think so too.
Because somebody said that they hope that he really had fun at the dark taping, because that's all he got to see, because he got thrown out.
Yeah, that's pretty much all he gets to see. And then literally you're thrown out in the first. I don't know if they actually threw the guy out. I hope they did. What a piece of shit. I don't understand why. Listen, I know you're allowed to say pretty much, you know, you should be able to say anything you want, but these are different times, man. These are different fucking times. And you know what? People ain't taking fucking this shit anymore. They want to throw you out, they're going to fucking throw you out. So, anyway, past that. Moxie came back. I think the guy looked fucking great, man. He looked fucking relaxed, refreshed, and sober. He leaned out a lot. Almost looked like, I'm not saying anything here, but alcohol sort of bloats you out a little bit, especially when you're drinking a lot of it, especially when you're drinking a lot of whiskey or scotch or bourbon, which is pretty much all the same shit. And looks good, man. He really does look leaned out, looks refreshed, relaxed, just ready to come out and kick some ass. And cut a good promo. What'd you think of that, Smart?
Yeah, I thought it was a good promo. Like you said, it was kind of, I guess, maybe not funny, but we were talking before about just, you know, I became kind of apparent that he had put on some weight and he wasn't looking his best necessarily. And we all just kind of thought that it was a matter of him just having a kid recently. Mm. And perhaps that did have a factor into it. But, you know, now he's out here after the fact, after going to rehab and everything, and he looks great. So it's just nice to see that he's back and he's doing well for himself and getting things back together, getting all his ducks back in a row.
Absolutely. And he was fired up for this promo. I've got about 54 seconds of pretty much the end of it. And let's go ahead and hit it.
I have more scars on my body than the average person, but those aren't important. The important ones are the scars we carry on the inside that are harder to see. And sometimes we try and cover up these scars. Sometimes we try to pretend these scars aren't there. But those are the scars that we should be proud of. Those are the scars that tell our story. Those are the scars that give us strength. Those are the scars that make us the people we are. Now, nobody's perfect, all right? If everybody was perfect, the world would be a very boring place. So nobody, no matter who you are, should be afraid to stand up in front of the whole world and bear it all. Everything that makes you the person that you are, scars it all, and say, hey, this is me.
All right. Good promo. I mean, I'm not going to say it didn't come off a little bit like, you know, public statement. A little bit, kind of a PSA. It did, a little bit, but a good one. A good one. Tell everybody, just don't be afraid to go out there and, you know, look, yeah, nobody's perfect. I went to rehab. I fucked up. I felt I had a problem. I took care of it. I did it, you know, I let Tony put it out publicly, which everyone shit on Tony Khan for putting it out publicly. I still don't get that. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. I liked it. I liked everything you said. Yeah, might have been a little bit of a PSA promo, but obviously we're going to get Jon Moxley back, babyface. Not sure what they're going to do with Eddie Kingston from here. Looks like he's going to go against Jericho, and we'll get to that whole thing in just a few minutes.
Yeah.
So, anyway, like I said, man, great promo by Moxley. Great to see him back. We figured he'd be back. Good shit, man. Good way to start the show. I thought.
I would agree with that. And I mean, like you said, it did sound a little bit of PSA-ish. Some of it was a little bit like your generic pep talk. There's some elements of that peppered into it. But I think we're going to get, as time goes on, a little bit more personal as to what it was that happened. And he's going to have more opportunities to touch on it, I think, for sure. So we'll get more of that later.
And, you know, I mean, I'm sure one of the things that we're going to hear is the fact that he became a dad. And, dude, your priorities change, man. Your fucking priorities change. And one of the reasons he went to rehab might have been the fact that he wanted to get sober for his kid, man. I mean, a lot of people have kids and stop smoking, you know, things like that, just to prolong their life a little bit. Because it goes from, I don't give a shit what happens to me, to, my God, I used to not care if I, you know, if I fucking die, to my God, I don't know what I would do if I can't see my kids grow up.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm sure we'll hear a little bit about that, a little bit about him being a dad, which I got no problem with. I think it should all fucking all come out. So, no big deal at all with me, man. But, all right. After that, Smark, we go to a commercial. We come back. It's MJF. He's talking to Wardlow. Now, of course, my cable decided to take a little pause when he said, did he dock him a week's pay?
Mm-hmm. Yes, because he put his hands on him and he was not allowed to do that.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure I had the pay right, because right when he said, I'm going to dock you a pay, that's what I heard. Because my cable fucking paused for a second. Okay, it was a week's pay for, like you just said, putting his hands on him last week. This ain't going to go much further, and I'll tell you what, this crowd is ready to get behind Wardlow as a babyface.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we said it last week, man. We 100% said it last week. So I'm actually looking forward to it because I am one of them that is ready to see Wardlow break away from MJF.
Sure.
So I'm right there with it. And after that, we had the Orange Cassidy and Chris Statlander versus Adam Cole and Britt Baker. They've been making a pretty big deal of this match.
You know, obviously, we've got the,
well, I mean, you've got the couple of Adam Cole and Britt Baker, and then you've got Orange Cassidy and Chris Statlander. I don't know. The big deal is the fact that Britt Baker and Adam Cole are finally together working a match. That's great. I love it. It's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that's really all it was. I mean, they put over the fact that Cassidy and Statlander had wrestled together with each other like 4 times in the past. So they are somewhat of a established tag team, I guess, as much as you can be, since there's no like actual, you know, mixed gender tag team division or whatever, however you want to phrase that. But they did put over that it wasn't just some random pairing.
I just hope they went to the office and registered a tag team.
Hopefully. I mean, like I said, but we talked about it. There's a lot of paperwork that goes into that.
Don't piss off that manager, people. All right. Another little throwback there. I got to tell you, all jokes aside, this was actually a pretty fun match. Orange Cassidy, always fun to watch. Him and Adam Cole's little interactions were good in the match. Pretty much by the end of the match here, though, Cole and Baker. Cole couldn't take out Orange Cassidy no matter what he did. He even hit, the Panama Sunrise, I believe is the name.
Mm-hmm.
Still didn't take him out. Cole and Baker grabbed the timekeeper's table. They set it up for Orange Cassidy, but Cole accidentally, we'll see, throws Orange Cassidy into Britt Baker, and Britt Baker goes through the table because she was on the apron. Ooh, Cole did look pissed. Hits a low blow for the win. Now, if I'm not mistaken, did another referee come out, or was that the same ref?
I think it was the same ref.
I think it was too. I couldn't remember if another one came out, but I didn't think one did. But I don't remember. I'm sure the chat room will tell me if I'm wrong. Are they still talking about bikers? Okay, they're not. All right, good.
Now, despite my best efforts of posting random biker photos, we have transitioned into a new topic of discussion.
That's probably good. That's probably good. We get Inner Circle. They're backstage. And this is where we get the little thing about Eddie Kingston. They're talking. Chris Jericho takes a little shot at Eddie Kingston. And Santana and Ortiz kind of, I mean, I guess they stick up for him is exactly what they did. They kind of stuck up for him. Like, listen, you may not like him, but we do. And we, you know, show him some fucking respect.
yeah.
Basically, was it. And they also were like, look, maybe, you know, he said something last week that he might be right. Maybe you're the reason we're not the champions, Jericho. Maybe you're reason you are holding us back. So yeah,
further pointing out that, you know, they had his back in all of his conflicts, but he hasn't been there to help them.
It's true. It is true. I don't know if they were working towards that, but it is definitely 100% true because, I mean, they've been beat down before and Jericho never came out. So I don't know. I think it's pretty good storytelling. And again, we got Kingston out for a few weeks, so we'll see what happens as this story grows with him and whether or not they put him back with Moxley or not. I don't know if they're even going to bother at this point. So Cole does, we come back from commercial and Cole is losing his shit on Orange Cassidy for putting his hands on his girlfriend. And he challenges him to a match next week at Beach Break to an anything goes, no DQ, lights out match with like 30 stipulations. Really, we could have just said fucking no DQ, lights out match. I would have been fine with that.
Yeah, pretty much just the same rules, but different phrasing repeated a couple of different times.
Yeah, we're going to have a redundancy match.
We're going to have a street fight. A no holds barred, a hardcore, a no rules. It's like, yeah, we get the idea.
Yeah, there you are. You get the idea. You know what we're having lights out to. But yeah, so they're having all that. That is going to be next week on Dynamite, which once again will be Dynamite, will be Beach Break in Arizona. Huh. Yeah. Interesting. I guess they could use a beach break because there's no beaches in Arizona, is there? Is there beaches?
I was about to ask. I'm not familiar with the landscape of Arizona.
No, neither am I. Neither am I. Maybe there is. Who knows? After that, we get the CM Punk and Sean Spears match. MJF comes out, jumps on commentary before the match even starts. Now, Punk took out Spears in, like, what, 10 seconds?
Yep. I mean, it was literally more of you had to sit through Sean Spears' elaborate entrance that nobody cares about, and then CM Punk's fairly long entrance. And then after about 5 to 7 minutes of entrances, you got a minute-long match, if even, and it was over.
Well, the longest part was CM Trunk. CM Trunk.
That thing said CM Trunk. I was like, wow.
CM Punk.
Scathing commentary. Has he put on some weight?
I'm sorry. It was CM Punk. Like trying to straighten Spears before he put him in the GTS. And that was like the most of the match there. And basically he just literally dropped down, picked him up, GTS, the match was over. It was like 10 seconds. MJF tries to sneak in as Punk is celebrating. He gets caught. And he still got away from Punk, though. So they're keeping up this chicken heel, or chicken shit heel. I'm not speaking right now. Chicken shit heel thing with which MJF is fucking perfect at, and I'm kind of glad they are keeping their hands off each other because it's just going to be that much better of a moment when they finally do lock horns.
Right.
So I'm fine with what they're doing right now.
And to finally put to bed a question that everybody was wondering, Arizona indeed does have some beaches. Apparently, Pebble Beach is 20 miles northeast of Mesa. It's a popular spot to start or finish a leisurely tubing trip down the Salt River.
Ooh.
Because no motorized boats are allowed, it's also an ideal place to swim.
I will say those little tubing down rivers are pretty fucking cool, dude.
Yeah.
We used to go up to Florida to somewhere called Peace River, and they had one of those little tubing things. And, man, we would just drink all fucking day. You know, surprisingly, no one ever got up to pee.
Interesting.
I mean, it was a river, flowing water. You know, it wasn't a pool. So,
It makes me feel quite happy to know that you're not one of those people that thinks it's okay to pee in a pool.
No. Ew. No.
It is funny because there's a line of like degeneracy where it's like some certain people think it's okay to pee in the shower. I think it's fine. I don't actually really do it myself. But then it's like it just keeps getting there. Like it starts off as like peeing outside. Every guy does. Then like you start drawing lines. It's like, all right, do you do it in the shower? Do you do it in the pool? Do you do it on someone's face? It keeps going. And then, you know, it defines who you are. The further you go without, you know. Pulling out, I guess, is the only phrasing I could actually think of.
I mean, I'm good with the shower pee. I'm fine with that. That doesn't bother me. But it's pretty much, you know, shower and toilet. That's about it. Tree every now and then. I mean, every, you know, if a tree, you know, if you have to. But no, pools are just, there's many other people in pools. And it's just, it's icky. Maybe if it was my pool. I mean, when I was a kid, I probably did a few times. I'm sure I did a few times when I was a kid, but anyway, that's it. But the shower thing, running water. I clean my shower, so who gives a shit?
Well, for me, the reason I didn't do it was I couldn't. There were some times where I couldn't always trust that the drain was going to take care of it. It was just like, I don't know if I trust it. So I was just like, yeah, this is more. And I feel like there's a general odor that kind of happens. It's like, I'd just rather not be bathing in my own pee. It only takes me about 10, 15 minutes to shower. I can avoid not peeing for that long. I trust my bladder.
But, I mean, I'm not going to. I mean, if I got to, I ain't fucking stepping out of the shower. I'll just say that.
Sure.
But anyway. For some reason, the Gun Club decided to attack Christian. Was there any backstory to this that I missed?
Not really. They said that the Gun Club commandeered like a production, I guess, setup and decided to use that to attack Christian. I don't know if there's some long-standing callback to history that they have amongst each other from their time elsewhere, but...
I really don't know. I was all confused by this. And even the announcers were like, the Gun Club unprovoked attack Christian.
Look, we're going to level with you guys. There's three of them. There's three of the Jurassic Express. What can you do?
It worked.
That's why they're feuding. There it you works. Go. There's your setup. There's your backstory.
There you go.
Here we go.
It works. It just works.
There's four, but we're probably going to fire Marco Stunt. So there's really only three.
There you go. Well, he's not really doing anything. But so this is where the Cody Rhodes thing hits.
Oh, boy. I'm actually kind of glad that we don't have Eric on because I am going to have fun shitting all over this.
Yeah. So Cody Rhodes comes out. He's in a suit, so we know he's serious. He's not in a white suit, so we know he's really serious. There's a ladder in the ring. Now, the first thing he does is he brings up CM Punk's pipe bomb promo. It took him a while to get there, but he finally brought up the pipe bomb promo. And then this whole promo, as Christopher Kane would say, just turned into Cody gobbling his own fucking dick. Oh, my God. Finally, he decided to challenge Sammy Guevara to a ladder match next week at Beach Break once again. It was finally made official later, but oh, my God, the drivel, the I did that, the me. You know why I won't turn heel? Because you guys are assholes. Well, that's not a fucking babyface thing to say, dumb shit.
Just because you cocksuckers don't like me doesn't mean I'm not a good guy.
Exactly.
I fucking rule.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. So first off, like you said, you didn't need a fucking 20-minute preamble to mention that you were alluding to the pipe bomb.
Thank you.
Because he starts off with, you know, the last match made me think of a promo that changed the business, that was so revolutionary, that changed the path of things to come. I'm like, okay, yeah, clearly you're not talking about a Sean Spears promo. None of those exist. That are good, anyway. So it's like, okay, he sets up this long fucking rambling 20-minute preamble to talk about the pipe bomb promo. It's like, all right, just get there. And then he talks about how CM Punk mentioned wanting to tag with the Young Bucks, which I don't think he did in that promo. I could be wrong, but I don't remember that part of that promo.
Right.
But he was saying, all right, he said he was going to wrestle in New Japan. He said he was going to do this. He said he was going to do that. He didn't do any of those things. But you know who did? Your hero and savior, Cody Rhodes. Oh. And I was like, ah, oh, Jesus fucking Christ. So he keeps going on and on. And the one thing that I took exception with was he was talking about... I forget who, Ricky Starks.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about Ricky Starks getting into it with Jay Lethal. And he said, my real life friend, Jay Lethal. And I was like, Jesus Christ. Like, you, like, yeah, you really have to hit us over the head with, like, this is fake. But in real life, I'm friends with Jay Lethal. Like, you could just say, like, my personal friend or somebody who I respect. But then he follows that up by saying that people don't kick out of the Lethal Injection. So, like, you're putting over this move as being, like, in kayfabe as being, like, just unbeatable. And then you say, in real life, he's my friend. So it's like, what the fuck are you trying to do here? What are you trying to achieve?
Listen. I don't know.
He puts himself over as saying that, like, the forbidden door is a proper pronoun now. Or, no, a proper noun, rather.
Sorry. Right.
And he was the one that built the forbidden door. And I'm just like, oh, my God. Like, it's not good. It's not a good promo at all. Like, it fucking sucked. Sacha Baron Corbin was saying, this is where I tuned out. Like, honest to God, when the promo started, I was in the bathroom. I could hear the television, but I was in the bathroom. I finished up. He was still talking. I decided that I was going to put some clothes in the washer. Because I didn't want to hear where this was going, because it seemed like it was going absolutely fucking nowhere. I checked back. It was ultimately, just like you said, to issue the ladder match with Sammy Guevara at the Beach Break next week. But it was just so fucking bad. Like, I get the whole idea is like, well, is he a heel? Is he not a heel? He's like playing both sides or whatever. He's essentially being a heel without being a heel. And that's the whole glory and wonder of what it is he's doing. Okay, fine. If people don't give a shit about his character, it doesn't matter if he's heel or face. If people are tuning out or actually, you know, changing the channel, losing interest, not wanting to hear him, not wanting to see him, it doesn't matter if he's a good guy or a bad guy. Yeah. It's actively hurting your product by having him on in this way that you're presenting him.
It was blowhard bullshit, dude.
Right.
It was drivel. It was like just lingering, like. Get to the fucking point. First of all, they brought out Cody, okay? And then they go to picture in picture. So Cody's there to just kind of talk to the crowd. And it's like, what are you doing? Go to commercial. Fucking go to commercial. I don't need to see Cody in picture walking around the fucking ring until you come back from break. I don't. I just don't. They had a
friend. Right, and as Sacha Baron Corbin said, he claimed that Ricky Starks, a heel, was his friend when, you know, Cody's a face. And, you know, obviously heels and faces can be friends or whatever, but, like, they didn't do anything to establish them as being friends on television, as far as I can remember. The only real interaction that I remember them having was he accepted the open challenge one time, and that was pretty much it.
Well, that's what got him into the company, basically. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And he cut a heel promo before the match on Cody, if I believe.
Yeah, pretty much. And then it's just that whole thing is like, because you're literally just sitting there and being like, well, these are my friends in real life. These are my friends when the cameras are off. And it's like, why are you? It's not even like you're making a funny reference or anything. You're not doing any, you know, there are certain moments where, like, you know, if Chris Jericho and Christian had a moment or whatever, you know, where they reference something, them being friends or doing something in WWE back in the day, whatever, like, okay, that I get. But you're literally just sitting there and breaking it down. And it's like, okay, these are my real life friends. These are my kayfabe friends. And it's like, why are you doing? Who? First off, who gives a shit?
Yeah, exactly.
Who cares who you're friends with? Nobody cares. This isn't a situation where you're building a feud on it. Like, you know, the Eddie Kingston, John Moxley thing where it was like, we were friends and then you changed. No, fuck you. You changed, whatever. Like, you're not doing a service to the actual product. You're just being, like you said, self-indulgent.
Yeah, it really was. The whole thing was, man. It was just, it was too long. It was drivel. Like I said, the picture in picture is where it started. I was like, what the fuck are they doing?
That is such a great idea for a heel, though. Like, especially like an MJF promo. If you have him cutting a promo without announcing it, they go into picture in picture and then come back and he's still just talking. Like, that would be a great, like, that'd be great for Cody to do, too, I guess. Oh, yeah. It would make me laugh at the very least.
Oh, I was thinking that's what they were going to do anyway. But anyway, I'm glad we both agree that that was just awful in many ways.
Oh, it fucking sucked. Like, you just outside of, like, I know we like to have fun with not liking Cody, but just legitimately, it was a fucking awful promo.
Oh, yeah. 100%, man. So I think my kids are starting to come in and ask me when I'm done. So we ain't got much left anyway. After the whole Cody, whatever that was, Frankie Kazarian versus Lance Archer was the next match there. We had Jake come out with Dan Lambert. So they're kind of a little business relationship going on there between them. Archer obviously won this match. I didn't see anywhere where Frankie Kazarian was going to win this. But basically they call out Paige. After the match, the crowd was just loving chanting the cowboy shit. They love chanting the old cowboy shit chants. And Paige came out, and he took out Archer. Now, I gotta say, Smark, if anything didn't look right, it was Adam Page taking out a giant man like Lance Archer.
Yeah, a little bit.
It did look a little awkward. I get it. I mean, listen, we've seen Rey Mysterio take out the Big Show and Brock Lesnar and everybody. So I guess it's not exactly, you know, out of the realm, but it was weird.
Yeah, like I said, a little bit. I can see how you would get there. especially after they just spent, you know, like 15 minutes or whatever having him beat the ever-loving shit out of somebody. I mean, yes, granted, Frankie Kazarian, but still.
Yeah, yeah. And there's that. Now, I just realized I missed a match, actually. The Malakai Black and Brody King match versus the Varsity Blondes. I don't know why I missed that, but I did, and I apologize for that. Julia Hart still wearing her eye patch, and she posted a little Instagram picture today of her with a kind of a pendant of a black heart on a necklace. So she was teasing it a little bit. Everyone thinks, obviously, she's going to be one of the members of the House of Black. But Black and King just destroyed the Varsity Blondes pretty quick. And then, of course, we get Pac popping up, still blindfolded, and, well, insane.
Yes. Actually took off the blindfold at the end of the promo. Uh-huh. So I guess we're doing a little bit of character development there. But it was, yeah, it was very similar to last week's segment, which was not perfectly fine because I really enjoyed last week's segment. I enjoyed this one, too. But it was just kind of shortened to the point where, like, he will have his revenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and with the Justice card in his hand still from last week, just really good stuff. Pac is really good at these crazy promos. I fucking love him, man. He's really good at them. So it's fun to watch because he seems like he's into them and seems like they're his idea, which is even, I mean, it like I said, it's probably why they're so good to watch. Next, we get Sky Blue versus Serena Deeb. Deeb pretty much dominates the match. She gets the win. I didn't see where Sky Blue was going to win this, so I got really nothing more on that unless you do.
Now, that was kind of just real quick. That was kind of my problem with every match on the show this week was, like, there was a clear and obvious winner, and they did not pull any surprises out of that. Yeah. Like, there were no upsets. Like, everybody that you thought was going to win did win. So, like, they kind of made it a little bit harder to be invested in these matches. But other than that, yeah. Like
a two-hour episode of Dark.
More or less, honestly. I mean, like, the Moxley promo was good. The Pac vignette was good. Even, you know, the opening match, it was predictable because you knew that they weren't going to have Cole and Baker lose, but it was still a good match. But outside of that, it was kind of rough.
Yeah, definitely. It was. Yeah. Like I said, it wasn't the best show, but it was definitely a good show. Moxley coming back was probably the best part of the show.
Right.
Ethan
Which
Page.
they had a weird opportunity here, though, mm-hmm. because this was the first year that they had an NFL playoff game on a Monday. So that theoretically was going to cut into the Raw rating, which could have gave them a possibility to put up a better number this week than Raw. But I don't think we're going to get there.
Anything's possible, but I see where you're going with that. We had Ethan Page. He basically calls out John Moxley, says, I'll take him on Rampage. So Friday night, we get Ethan Page versus John Moxley on Rampage. So you guys can check that out. Nothing really to say on that. Now, we got Sammy. They do go to a picture-in-picture after this, and we get Sammy doing the old sign promo during the picture-in-picture from Brazil, where he is meeting Tay Conti's family. I love this. He accepts the match via Brazil with signs. I was laughing my ass off. It was great. What a great
backdrop. Living the life.
He is, man. Great backdrop. Great everything out there in Brazil, living the fucking life. Yeah, I mean, Jesus Christ. What a lucky fucking guy.
Mm-hmm.
And got Tay Conti. Oh my God. And she was posting pictures of her sister. Holy shit, there's two of them. Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. One is hotter than the other. It's like, my God, they're both gorgeous girls. It's amazing. Both beautiful women. But anyway, he did accept the ladder match, so that's going to happen next week. Beach break. There we go.
I'm actually kind of surprised. I don't think this is even an option, but I wouldn't like. I'm kind of surprised that Impact hasn't just started bringing in famous wrestlers' sisters, Because you like you bring in the fucking the other Neidhart sister, you bring in Bailey's sister, who if anybody's seen photos of her, she's probably even hotter, which is kind of unfathomable. But there you go. You bring in Tay Conti's sister. You just like it's a whole promotion of just famous people's relatives.
Yeah, the problem is they can't wrestle. But okay, I see where you're going.
Well, I mean, depending on who the relative that you know is famous is, someone that can't wrestle either.
Very true. Very true. Yeah, you could bring in the old siblings wrestling organization, SWO. What do you think of that?
Fucking bring back David Flair.
Yeah, there you go. Obviously, we're not going to get Reed. What? That was a that fact. That was a fact. That was nothing more than a fact.
That's a bit of a hard pill to swallow.
Oh, see, now that was wrong. Okay.
Well, we're gonna cross the line. Why do it by, you know, like as Kennison said, if you're gonna miss heaven, why do it by inches?
See, now that's wrong. All right, we get the Hardy family office backstage with Andrade. Matt says he's given Andrade 51% of a wrestling gimmick. I'm confused what he's really giving him. But
the Hardy family office.
51% of the Hardy family office, whatever that means. In the real world, which is nothing. So
he gave him some crypto.
Exactly. This is worse than crypto. This isn't even cryptocurrency. I don't know what this is, but I don't know if Andrade is now the leader of the, I mean, technically he has 51%, which that does make him the, you know, majority owner. I don't know.
This is true.
I don't know where this is going, but I'm not going to lie. I'm a little interested.
Yeah, it's intriguing, I will say. I got a little bit of a laugh out of it because like people are posting stills from the promo, and it looks like a company's like diversity photo. Like, we believe in a diverse workplace.
Oh, you're right. It was definitely. I could see that now. Got them all in there. All right. So I guess we can knock out and go to the main event now, Smark. That was the Acclaimed versus Sting and Darby Allin. The Acclaimed basically take out Darby Allin right before the match even starts. They put a chair around his neck. They run him into the ring post. And this leaves Sting to go at it alone. Now, Smark, I don't know if you agree here, but did you see from 25 miles away the fact that Darby Allin was going to come back near the end of the match and make this huge babyface Mick Foley type return?
I mean, I thought the only person that was capable of that level of resiliency was one Cody Rhodes, as we saw in that Sonic Brass Ring Ladder match.
Well, I mean, there's that, but did you think that that's where this match was going?
I could play along or I could tell you the truth and say absolutely. So, I mean, really kind of, you know, choose your own adventure on that one. I totally could not believe that such a thing was fathomable.
Well, I'm not going to say I'm rushing the last segment here, but I am. yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah, I did too. I saw where this was going a fucking mile away. I think everybody did. I'm not saying I'm special. Like I said, I think everyone saw where this was going. Darby, at 5 minutes left, and Darby comes back, gets the hot tag, and starts just basically running shit in the ring. Sting did a crazy dive. Dude, that was... Not only was that like a crazy dive for Sting to go, he had to like go over shit.
Mm-hmm.
That was like jumping the balcony to get in the pool.
Yes, he dove from the stage, like onto, I believe it was Max Caster. He put him through a table.
Yep.
Like he landed on top of him and then Caster fell through the table. It was a very unusual looking spot.
Yeah, it seemed like once Sting started rolling is when the table broke.
He couldn't stop it. His momentum.
But it did. It broke. It didn't no sell like a Randy Orton spot.
Right.
That's usually what happens with Randy Orton. But I mean, like I said, I guess going back to the fact that this show was very predictable, even what was happening in this match was predictable.
Right.
Not that it was a
bad
match.
Not only did you know the Darby comeback was coming, but you also knew that there wasn't a chance in hell the Acclaimed was winning this match, unfortunately.
Yeah, absolutely. And you knew Darby was going to get the pin. It kind of just all... I mean, this whole show kind of wrote itself. This match definitely wrote itself. I really feel for a lot of people. Like I said, I'm not saying we're special. I think a lot of
I mean, so much so that like when it was over and they were posing in the ring, I was like, all right, who's coming out? Because I was like, clearly this is leading to something.
No.
And then like, nope, the kid, this, that was it. They signed off.
Nope.
Which, I mean, next week is Beach Break. So theoretically, there's going to be some big stuff going on. They've already announced some of the matches, but there might be a surprise or two or, you know, a big angle or what have you. It seems like they're kind of saving their resources for that being a special show. So hopefully that ends up delivering.
Maybe we should take a break and go to the beach.
There you go.
I wish if it was a beach around here. I'm fucking
a lifeguard stand, put on some sunblock.
I'm like four.
Actually, shit. I mean, we both talked about it. We mentioned it in the beginning of the show. As cold as it's going to be tomorrow, I think I'm gonna pass on that beach opportunity. Yeah, man.
I mean, the high is 36 here.
I think the high is 32 here tomorrow.
Yeah, the wind is gonna make it like that, and I have to work in a fucking warehouse all day.
Which is funny because we have a lot of like Midwestern listeners who are just laughing at us and calling us pussies because that's like,
oh yeah,
their high is like 7.
Eesh.
Which I've lived through quite a few of those days in Chicago growing up. So I've been there, but
I know it's like
it's cold as shit for here in Tennessee.
It's fucking really cold for Texas. Really, really fucking cold. So
it snowed Saturday and it's supposed to snow next Saturday too. This coming.
Oh, fuck that. If it snows here, I ain't fucking leaving the house. I can tell you that right now.
It was all over the mountains. Because there's a mountain range, like, right outside my house.
I live on country roads that say state maintenance ends. We are not going to get plowed if it snows here. There, well, I will not be able to get out of my house.
Yikes.
I will be snowed in if it happens to snow here. But let's see what's the temperature here right now. And then we'll jet on out of here. We'll get these plugs done. It was 56 today. It is now 34, and extreme wind is what it's saying. It's been pretty windy since my drive home. It started getting windy then, but it's like really windy. So, yeah, it's going to be fucking cold. It's going to be 27 when I leave tomorrow morning for work.
Have fun with that.
And my jacket is in the car.
I hate when that shit happens, when you leave your jacket or you leave your umbrella.
Well, I don't use an umbrella, but I've got a couple flannel shirts I'll throw on in the morning, and I'll get to my car. Luckily, my new car, it'll start from my phone and warm up.
Ah, yeah, those are always nice.
I can actually just my Uvo. We'll start my car, and I can heat it up, put my defrost on. So I know I'm sounding like a little snobby fucking punk here, but listen, it's been a long time since I've had a new car. I promise you. So I'm glad to have it. But that right there is a helpful feature. So I just need to get to my car, and then I can head to work, and then I'll throw my jacket on when I get to work. So I got nothing else, man. I think we knocked everything out. Did a lot longer than I wanted to do. I wanted to knock this out in 2 hours minimum. But there we go.
I think we would have if it wasn't for the technical issues at the beginning.
Oh, you're right. We did have them. So the show's not actually going to be this long. You are correct, sir. Probably going to knock about 10 minutes off the show. So it's about 2:15. Not bad at all. And you're right. I forgot about those. So, all right. I guess we can, let me turn this up. I guess we can go ahead and knock plugs out one more. Time to end this show, which means you guys need to be checking out the High Marks on everywhere you find podcasts. And of course, you can check them out on YouTube, and you can check them out right here, mixler.com/metalmitnetwork. That's right, 2 T's in mit. mixler.com/metalmitnetwork. And you can check out Cheese Man Mojo and G Wiz Sunday nights. I'm still not speaking. 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And there you go. And, of course, Bobby Anthem, Bobby Blade. Check out the Inhumans over there on the Inhuman Experience. You can check them out on all the usual podcast platforms. And, of course, don't forget to check out Eric over there on the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. Everything Unscripted Network. If you're looking them up on Blog Talk Radio, you can check them out right over there. And you can also find them on all the usual podcast platforms. And, of course, Steve Milan, sharing the show. Letterboxd, boxd.com/Steven. Milan, two L's in Milan. And don't forget, Hollywood Hangout. You can get to me, Mixler.com/Hollywood-Hangout. I'm sorry, I had to do it. It was my fault. And I'll be talking Lachlan Monroe, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Saturday night. Smart.
That's it. Mondays, 8:30 p.m. on the Metal Mid Podcast Network, as well as wherever you get your gosh darn podcasts. Be sure to check out Cheese on Sports with Cheese Man, G-Wiz, Luke Birch, Matt, and myself. We're talking playoff football. We're talking UFC, NHL, NBA, anything that you might dream of in the sports world, we're covering it. And be sure to check out the Mo Dirk City Machine Guns with Mojo and with Dirk. And last but never least, be sure to check out our friends at Planet Rock on Tour. Splendid Rack on Tour podcast with Bobby Anthem, with Papa Dave Sincere, and with Yuck Nasty. All 16 episodes of Season 1 are available, as well as new episodes of Season 2, so be sure to check them out.
There you go. And on that note, once again, chat room, appreciate you guys coming on in, joining us. Downloaders, appreciate you guys downloading the show. And Smark, always appreciate you joining me.
You got it.
And I will see you next week. On that note, everybody,
adios. It's time to take the band home. It's all right up.